Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the program. I'm Guy Bauer. This is called The Good Life. We talk about food, wine, and fun for your ears. I wish it was for your mouth and your table and your wine glass, but you have to do that on your own. This is just a way to get you started. The book we're talking about today is called The Primal Gourmet Cookbook. It's not a diet if it's delicious is the little subtitle. And if you look at the picture on the cover, one, you can assume that the pictures inside are going to be equally as good. Oh, my goodness. Chicken with spinach and artichoke cream sauce. My guest is Ronnie Joseph Lavarsky. Ronnie, we talked about your weight issues and how you got started. Your 10 things that you wrote down to kind of get you started are brilliant, and none of them say, you know, eat less calories or exercise more. It's a little more open-ended. Before we talk about the book, though, I do want to talk a little bit about the website. I touched on that before we left. But cookprimalgourmet.com, and you're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and your original accounts where you shared some of your information. But the blog, your website, is chock full of stuff. I mean, this obviously has become nearly a full-time job for you in addition to teaching art history.
Well, I actually, one thing that happened is in 2019, so last year in late spring, I actually transitioned full-time into blogging and writing the book.
Oh, good. So I
took a step back from teaching, and it was kind of a really pivotal moment, actually. The book is really what put me onto that path, because it kind of came at a point in my life where I was expecting, my wife and I were expecting our daughter in a couple months. I had put together a book proposal, and I realized, you know what, if the only way I'm going to write this book is if I can devote 150% to it, I'm not going to do it if I can't. So I decided, you know, this is a lifelong passion of mine. I'm going to do a little pivot, and I'm really happy that I did. It was a great, great decision. We've been really happy ever since. So the teaching took a sidestep, but we're full on in the blogging and the cookbook authoring realm now.
Well, and folks, you got to go. It's cookprimalgourmet.com. There's recipes, videos. There's some good questions and Ronnie's story about, do you say paleo or paleo?
I say paleo.
Paleo.
I say paleo.
Yeah.
Just because I think of Paleolithic, but I've heard people say paleo,
yeah.
Paleo. Depending, my parents always say paleo. So anything goes.
But you learn about you. That's important. And then you've got a section on things you ought to have in your cooking facility, in your kitchen, cookware and such. Mm-hmm. You got a little shop booked or shop button, and then you can order a cookbook, and then a blog that you add to regularly. It's just such a wealth of information and with beautiful photographies, because if I remember right, you're kind of a photographer too.
Yeah, I taught myself to take photos of food, because that's one of the things you got to do, I guess, when you start a food blog. You got to hire someone to do it for you. And I was working on a teacher's budget, so
yeah.
I figured it out on my own. I'm still working at it. It's a process.
Well, I can tell you, every picture, both in the book and did you take all the pictures in the book yourself?
No. I worked with a really talented food photographer here in Toronto by the name of Donna Griffith and a prop stylist by the name of Laura Branson. And they are my dream team. They really brought the book to life. So I brought in the pros.
Well, but looking at the website, if you took those pictures, you fit the pro category.
Thank you very much.
All right. So the book has a good introduction. It talks about you and your journey and food. The getting started section, essential kitchen equipment, of course, is a great deal. I love the picture of at the beginning of the spices section, the types of salt and when to use them, and the photograph of all the individual types of salt, because I know a lot of people, they use their Morton iodized salt and think they're having a big time, but there's quite a difference. That's a good thing. Talk about some other spices that you find that you use regularly or things, or start with coconut oil.
Sure. So, you'll find that one of the things that I really wanted to make sure I did in the book was one thing I personally really dislike is when I pick up a cookbook and I see there's a lot of recipes, but if I'm buying a lot of ingredients for one specific recipe, there's no other recipes necessarily in that book that use those same ingredients. So I'm left with something like, a pound of one thing or a quart of something else or something like that. So I try to include recipes that use and borrow from the same group or family of ingredients. So you'll find a lot of things like coconut milk, similar spices. There's a whole section on making your own spice rubs. But coconut oil and really the types of oil that I use most predominantly are coconut oil, avocado oil, extra virgin olive oil, and butter or ghee. And ghee is just clarified butter, essentially. But it's taken to the point where it's virtually dairy-free. So almost all of the dairy salt, something like 99.9%. So it's really, really friendly for people who are lactose intolerant. And coconut oil is great because it cooks at a really high heat. It has a high smoking point. It does add a little bit of flavor, which is not necessarily a bad thing unless you hate coconut, in which case don't use it. Use avocado oil, which is neutral flavored and also has a really high smoking point. And these are things I talk about in the book. And I find it really great on things like if you're doing a curry, like a recipe that's inspired by a kind of Indian style curry, and coconut oil is great in that. Or something like if you're not cooking from the book, you want to do something like a Thai curry, coconut oil is fantastic for that. Or even frying things like plantains, which is one of my absolute favorite things, fried plantains. Mm-hmm. And I do that in coconut oil very often.
Interesting.
So, that's one of the mainstay ingredients throughout.
I love to see that. I made a salad dressing the other day. I used avocado oil. And I wanted to use a little white balsamic vinegar. And the one I grabbed was coconut-flavored white balsamic vinegar.
Oh, interesting.
Well, and I tasted it after I got it all assembled and seasoned and salted. And before I put it on the salad, I go, well, that was dumb. I didn't mean to do that. But, it tastes pretty good. And everybody else was like, whoa, coconut in the salad.
Those happy mistakes are what cooking is all about.
Amen. The book is laid out, I think it's fair to call it in a traditional sense. You start off, from the intro and some of the pointers, you got salads, eggs, chicken, beef, pork and lamb, seafood, vegetables. I love the back section alone would be worth the cost of the book for sauces, dressings, and spice blends.
So the organization was very, very conscious decision because I think that, one of the things with this book is it's geared specifically towards people that are going to undertake a paleo or a Whole30 approach to cooking. And that, for many people, it's a very daunting task, right? Maybe somebody is familiar with cooking, but they're not necessarily familiar with cooking whole foods or really natural raw ingredients. And I wanted to make it as simple as possible because the last thing I want is somebody to buy the book and not be able to cook the recipe. That's completely pointless, in my opinion. So everything is laid out really simply by main ingredient, mostly by proteins, but there's also a really big section on salads and vegetables. And also, like you mentioned, the sauces, dressings, and spice blends. Oh, and that last section is really, it's kind of almost selfish of me because I'm up in Canada and we don't have nearly the same kind of availability of fantastic products that you have in the States that are already geared towards paleo and Whole30 crowds because they're legume-free, soy-free, dairy-free, refined sugar-free, alcohol-free, etc.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give people a way to make things on their own so they're, A, not necessarily reliant on buying things which are often more expensive, although very convenient and sometimes really fantastic, or B, so that they can dabble around and take ownership of maybe if you need less sodium in something, you have maybe some, you know, some issues with blood pressure or something like that, you need to reduce the sodium intake, you can control that. So you're not just forced into buying something that has a really high salt content or a spice content that may not fit you and your personal preferences. So that was really a really important part of the book.
Well, you know, Toronto's a big immigrant center in Canada, more than most any big city in our country. And when I look at the recipes and I read just the title of the recipes, this is truly a worldwide eclectic array of interesting cuisine. Would you characterize it any different than that?
No, I think that's again, it was one of the things that was in my mind when I was tasked with writing the book was what kind of recipes am I going to include in a debut cookbook? Because I'm not a professional chef. I didn't go to culinary school. I'm self-taught. And I don't necessarily have a culinary identity like a professional chef would who went and trained in Italy or in Spain or in the south of France. So what I kept drawing back to was the fact that the things I really like to eat are ingrained in my own family upbringing. My parents are from former USSR. My mother's from Lithuania. My father's from Moldova. They just found it easier to say they're from Russia when they came to Canada in the early 80s. And also my city in Toronto, you go out to eat and the options are endless. You can eat Ethiopian, Jamaican, Lebanese, Vietnamese, Korean, all within one block. You know, they're all meshed together, Portuguese, you name it. And I love ethnic food. When I go out to eat, I usually pick an ethnic restaurant, a mom and pop shop. I'm not a big fan of necessarily fine dining. I do like it to celebrate on a special occasion, but I'm after the big, bold flavors, you know, non-pretentious food that is cooked from the soul with love and big portions and lots of flavor. And I find that in ethnic restaurants. So I borrowed a lot of that upbringing and inspiration for the book and also my travels where I've been and things I look back on. So definitely it's an eclectic mix that I hope will, you know, pay tribute rather than just borrow and pilfer. That's not my goal here. One of the things is when you take something that's really, really rooted in a culture's identity and you start playing around with the ingredients, people can get a little bit upset, and rightfully so. You know, I think that people have a really strong attachment to food. So what I do is I try to make it as accessible as possible to everyone, and specifically in the dietary restriction world, so that people can enjoy it, whereas maybe otherwise they wouldn't. So I hope that comes across more than anything as well with the variety of recipes.
Well, it does. And, you know, I could read them all off, but I focused on one. We have a very big Lebanese population here in Wichita, and many of our fine restaurants have Lebanese chefs or some Mediterranean influence with a Lebanese touch. And you have a takeoff on fattoush salad that I love. And you spelled the first part F-A-U-X. As in fattoush. And really, looking at the recipe, it's just like I love and what I have at some of my favorite restaurants. It just doesn't have the pita chips or crispy
that's
bits
right,
in
yeah.
it.
And, yeah, that's right.
It's pretty cool. And then I love some of the the Russian Jewish influence, and obviously your mom was a cook who never gave you fast food. Mama's chicken soup and matzo ball soup. But can you stay through one more quick break?
You bet.
I just want to talk about those two in particular because they're
absolutely
just such a great recipe. So, folks, we're talking about the Primal Gourmet. You want to learn more, you go to cookprimalgourmet.com. You do that. And but order the book. It's just money well spent. It's Whole 30 endorsed. It's healthy eating with, but you don't know that. You don't need to, you can leave that part off. Just follow the recipes. We'll be back with my guest, Ronnie, in just a very brief minute. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.